Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this program. We're here for the next hour and 25 minutes. Walker Wildman is with me to discuss what's happening in the world. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on the show today.
And Fred Jackson's in studio as well, news director for American Family Radio News.
Always good to be here.
And we got a new fella. Dr. Ray Pritchard is back from his world tour.
Never heard of the guy. Who is he?
Man, you've been gone for a month?
Yeah, I have been gone for a month. We were on the road, Tim, for 27 days, and we spent a week speaking in Wisconsin, upstate, and then 2 weeks in upstate New York speaking, and then last week at America's Keswick in New Jersey, and got home. Never so glad to be home as when we finally arrived last Friday night. So we're glad to be back on the air with you guys, too.
Now, was that driving or flying or a combination?
Oh, it was all flying. And preaching at Bible conferences, Michigan, New York, and New Jersey. Had a wonderful time. I mean, just a lot of open doors.
You know,
as I said, glad to be back.
Yeah, we talked about this before. Those Bible conferences that you go and teach, are these like camps for families?
Yes, yes. All of these were family camps. And I got to tell you, I was very surprised. Everywhere we went, we saw a great number of young families with kids. You know, today people think of vacation, Disney World, or, you know, a cruise, right, or something like that. But these were families who wanted to take a vacation and also have a spiritual emphasis. So there were little kids running around everywhere we were. So that's encouraging to me to see that.
Amen. Amen. Mm. This has nothing to do with our show today, what I'm about to talk about. But everybody's had this happen to them, I think. About 5 to 10, I got a text from a 573 area code. Where is that? Anybody know?
I'm not sure.
573 area code. And it didn't identify. The person didn't identify themselves.
St. Louis.
It's St. Louis? Mm-hmm. Hmm. I think I know who this is then, but I didn't know, and I'm still not for sure, but I get a text that says, I will take care of salad for the meeting.
That's and I, good.
Yeah,
That's
and
good
I thought to myself, what do I do with this? Because if I say, who is this, and then, right, I'm supposed to know who it is, mm-hmm, you know,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
It's embarrassing. Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I don't know if this is right or wrong. I just put okay. And that's not light, is it, Ray?
No. I mean, look, whoever it is, we're glad you're going to bring the salad.
That's
bring
great.
Some extra.
No objection here.
Okay, well, that's what I thought. I thought I'll just say okay. That's a neutral. I'm glad for you that you're bringing the salad for the meeting. I don't know what meeting you're talking about. I don't know who you are, anything about this, but it's okay with me if you want to let me know that you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That you're bringing the salad. So just now I got a oops, wrong Tim from whoever this is. I think I know who it is. But there was no, you know how you can see a text, and even if it's a number and you don't have it in a context, you can see what's written above, and you know, oh, yeah, that's that person.
Yeah.
There's no above. It's just a new number that comes in telling
me. So whatever meeting this is,
yeah,
we don't know who, where, no, or when, but they are going to have salad.
They're going to have a salad.
Great.
And you know what? That's just fine with me.
Yeah. That's right.
That's what I told you.
I might have added, and don't forget the T-bones, too.
Oh, I like that.
Well, Fred, that gets me into another three-sentence conversation, because they're going to write back and say, T-bones, nobody told me about that.
That's right.
So anyway, Walker, how are we making use of the World Wide Web for this show?
Yeah, we're using the internet to allow folks to keep up with the show. So if you're not listening, if you're not listening on an FM radio signal, then you're likely watching on the internet. A couple ways to do that. The first is our Facebook page. You can watch the video there on our Facebook page each weekday. Also, you can watch on YouTube, watch the video stream on YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues And the last way to keep up with the show and the simplest way is to just download the app, the American Family Radio app. And at 10 o'clock Central each weekday, you can listen to the show.
So type in Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube, and you can watch the show there.
That's right.
Hey, there was something else I was going to talk about. I can bring up relative to that. But you mentioned the app?
Yep, download the app, and then we have our website. You can go there. So
okay.
Many ways to keep up.
Let me just throw in. I listened on the app from Wisconsin, New York, and New Jersey. Checked in everywhere we went. And, folks, the app's amazing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where you are. It's crystal clear. It's amazing, Tim, how well the app works.
Yeah, and thousands of people are taking advantage of that. We hope to spread the word, so help us spread the word about the AFR app. All right, Fred, what's happening?
Well, let's go first to London, England, where there was, according to authorities, another terrorist attack. They are referring to this incident this morning. Just outside the Houses of Parliament, fairly early this morning, a car traveling at a high speed veered into a group of pedestrians and cyclists in front of the Parliament buildings there. The good news is that nobody was killed in this incident, although three people were injured. Because of previous incidents in recent months, the police presence was very strong, so police were on this car almost immediately. Within seconds, some of the reports say the driver was still in the car. He has been arrested, and there's, I think, just one person left in hospital at the moment. But the authorities there are treating this as a terrorist attack. And just as a reminder, there have been a number of serious terrorist attacks there in London. March 2017, guy by the name of Khalid Masood plowed a car into crowds on Westminster Bridge, killing four people. He got out of the car and then stabbed and killed a police officer. And then 3 months later, a van rammed into pedestrians on London Bridge before three men abandoned the vehicle, attacked weekend revelers. Eight people were killed in that and 48 injured. So London once again is on high alert. We will have to wait and see what transpires with this latest incident. They have the guy in custody, and we'll have to wait and see if there's perhaps some raids in his neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera. Nowhere, at least in the Associated Press account of this, is the word Islamic or Muslim mentioned. Given the fact we have a Muslim mayor in London, I think they're under orders sometimes in that area not to identify people as such. But we'll have to wait and see. But London, once again, is tense as another terrorist attack in that city. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you do. There's nothing you can do about cars.
No, they had barriers up. You know, all you can do, I mean, cars have to travel on roads. But you can try to protect areas, which is what I think London has been trying to do, protect pedestrians, given the previous incidents in recent months.
Yeah. Well, this is a tactic, Ray, that's been used now for, what, 3 or 4 years that we know of by ISIS and other Islamic terrorist groups. I mean, they've even talked about using cars as weapons.
Well, they have been using it. Just to mention, France, there are a bunch of people killed there. And then in New York, don't forget those the guys visiting from Argentina, a bunch of guys killed using a vehicle.
You know, here's the problem, Fred, that you can protect some of the buildings, right? But there you don't have enough police in London or anywhere to protect every building, every crosswalk, every open sidewalk. So, you know, thank God that, you know, the barriers were where they were. But the terrorists know what they're doing. How are you going to stop a guy on a beautiful summer day who wants to go, you know, who wants to go down the sidewalk plowing people down? You can't block. You can't close off every street in every city. It's just impossible.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. It's surprising to me that hasn't happened more in America. Mm-hmm. It has happened in New York City a couple of times. Yeah. Your home country of Canada, I think it's happened a couple of
Toronto times. Just a few months ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, can't have car control.
Right.
You know, like they say, gun control. So, you know, they're these Islamic jihadis, you mm-hmm. know, they're always trying to figure out new ways to kill innocent people or the infidels. Mm-hmm. I guess, do they score points with Allah if they kill infidels?
There is no question that in the minds of the terrorist, that's exactly what's happening. They're doing this in the name of their religion. They're doing it to gain favor with their God. They're doing it to score points for the afterlife, right?
Gotcha.
So they believe by doing this, they're obeying God, and they will be well received mm-hmm. by Allah into heaven. It's a perverse ideology.
Yeah.
But you can understand once they have, if you've been trained and your mind has been soaked in that kind of teaching, then sure, you're going to get into a truck and plow people down, because great will be your reward when you stand before your God, or yeah. so you think.
Mm. Yeah, that's when I say it's crazy, but it makes sense at the same time. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about jihad. Mm. Because it, in our mind, in the Western mind, we think killing innocent people, that's what kind of religion is that? That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't think like that. Try to think like they do. The jihadi thinks, no, it makes perfect sense, because as Ray just said, if I kill these devil worshipers, that is Christians mm-hmm. or Jews or non-Muslims, Westerners, mm-hmm. we're the devil worshipers in their mind,
mm-hmm.
Then Allah is going to be happy with me, and I get my chances of going to paradise are greater. So if you believe like that, then it makes perfect sense to get a car and go mow down a few devil worshipers.
In those circles, Tim, where those who have done it in the past, they are raised up as heroes.
That's right.
Martyrs for the cause. So why wouldn't you want to do that?
It's viewed as a war amongst the jihadis. It's viewed as a war. So they're waging war on the West.
Yeah. Their goal is world dominance.
Right. Yeah.
That's their goal. And so they are soldiers for that cause.
Right.
Yeah. And the more devout they are, the more dangerous they are. Mm-hmm. That's just a fact. All right. That's why you want lukewarm Muslims. If you're going to have any in your country, you want them to be backslidden. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You understand how I mean that. I hope people understand how I mean that. Dr. Frank Turek has a weekend program here on American Family Radio. Why, you ask? Because I invited him to do it 10 years ago, and he said yes. So we pay him handsomely, and he joins us every Tuesday to talk about how he'd like to renegotiate his contract with us. Cross-Examine Ministries, they do outstanding apologetics work on college campuses all over the country, and Frank is a good friend, at least he was. Frank, good morning to you.
I'm still waiting for the first check.
Well, it was in the mail 10 years ago. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, but, I don't know either. It must have been intercepted.
We never did talk about that, did we? About the money. I just asked you to do a radio show, and you said yes.
I just have faith.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim.
Cross-Examined. Tell us about Cross-Examined, and then let's get to the question of the day for Frank Turek.
What we do is we provide evidence that Christianity is true, and we cross-examine ideas against it, and we do that here on the American Family Radio Network every Saturday morning at 10 Eastern, 9 Central. And we also go to colleges, high schools, churches, and provide evidence that Christianity is true from our book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, and another book called Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. And so coming up next week, I got a debate with Michael Shermer, who's the publisher of Skeptic Magazine. He and I have debated before, but this one's going to be out in California. And then several colleges coming up in the fall, and churches, and we do TV as well on the NRB channel. So we're trying to get the word out there.
So go to your website, crossexamined.org.
You got it, .org.
Now, how do you determine what college campuses you go to?
When they email us and say, we want you to come.
That's a very low standard, Frank.
Yeah, that's it. Huh? Oh, you're going to invite us? Well, actually, we get invited by Christian groups on college campuses who, if they are officially recognized by the school, then the school can't neglect or can't tell us that we can't come because there's something known as viewpoint neutrality on college campuses that are state schools. Mm-hmm. Due to the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. So they can't deny access to us. So those are the schools we tend to go to.
Okay. Here's the question that we want you to answer. What does faith mean? F-A-I-T-H. What does faith mean?
Well, biblically, it means to put your trust in what you know to be true. I mean, faith is not believing what you know ain't so, as the atheists will often say. Faith is trusting in what you have good reason to believe. That's really the point. There's a difference between belief that and belief in. Belief that is getting evidence that God exists, that Jesus rose from the dead, that, say, the Bible is true. But you get evidence for that. But you can believe all that's true and not trust in Christ. In fact, James says, even the demons believe that God exists, but they tremble. In other words, they know intellectually better than we do that Christianity is true, that God exists and Jesus rose from the dead and is the Savior, but they don't trust in him. And so you have to move from belief that, which is just intellectual, to trust in or belief in, which is not just intellectual, it's also volitional. And we know this from relationships. When I first met my wife 33 years ago, I got evidence that she would be a good wife. But all the evidence in the world didn't make her my wife. I had to take a step of trust in her and ask her to be my wife. And in a momentary lapse of judgment, she said yes. See, that's the difference between belief that and belief in.
Frank, it's Fred here. You know, I get statistics, Barna and others, and not too long ago they said 70% of Americans say they are Christian. And your comments just in the last few minutes about the difference between faith that and faith in. I'm very skeptical of that claim of 70% of Americans are Christians.
Yeah, I agree that they may intellectually assent that they live in a Christian culture. And so they would, if they had to identify themselves as something, they would say Christian. But have they really trusted in Christ for their salvation? And the answer in many cases is probably no. And by the way, that's one reason we go to college campuses, is because about 3 out of 4 people who are brought up in the church walk away from the church once they go to college or once they leave the home. And one of the reasons, it's not the only reason, but one of the reasons is intellectually they don't know why it's true. They don't even know why belief that is justified. Forget about belief in. They're not even firmed up with belief with belief that. And so we want to firm them up with belief that and encourage them to then go to belief in.
So, Frank, here's a question. I deal with people from time to time. I mean, good people, Christian people, church people, evidently, okay? Mm-hmm. But who struggle at the point of, how do I know if my faith is strong enough? How do I know my faith is genuine? Maybe even how do I know whether I have, you know, faith that or faith in? How do you know if you've moved from the one to the other?
I think if you're worried about it, you probably already have moved, right?
Right.
I mean, most people
a good answer.
Most people who struggle, wait, am I really saved? Well, you probably are, because if you're worried about it, it means that you're concerned about it. Mm-hmm. The bigger problem is apathy. In fact, I ask this question everywhere I go now, Ray, of audiences. Here's the question. I ask people, I say, I want you to think of somebody who you know who's not a Christian, whom you'd like to be a Christian, a friend, a relative, just somebody you know. And everybody gets somebody in their mind. And I say, okay, I want you to think about this person right now. Is the person you're thinking of on a relentless pursuit of truth? In other words, they want to know if Christianity is true or not. Or are they apathetic or maybe even hostile to Christianity? Well, when I take that survey, what do you think the breakdown is? Hmm. What percentage are on a relentless pursuit of truth, and what percentage are apathetic or hostile? What do you guys think?
Large percentage apathetic.
Yeah, how large?
Mm-hmm. Huge. Huge,
yeah.
Big.
60, 70?
No, it's like 99 to 1.
Wow.
I mean, think about the people you know who are not Christians.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Are they on a relentless pursuit of truth, or are they apathetic or hostile?
Wow.
Yeah, Frank, this is Walker. Let me ask you one question about college campuses and some of the students you talk to. Do you ever run into students? It seems like nowadays most people, everybody you run into has their mind made up before you even start talking to them. And so do you ever run into students who genuinely seem to want to know the truth and they're kind of stuck in no man's land?
Yeah, there are several that come and ask questions. And there are also some that are trying to trip you up who are adamant atheists or skeptics or believers mm-hmm. of other worldviews that, you know, they'll come and they'll try and try and validate their own position by trying to give some counter evidence to Christianity or trying to poke a hole in an argument that I've given. So, yeah, you find both. Quite obviously, if you have a session called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, which is what we call it on a college campus, you're going to get people from all different viewpoints coming to that. But generally, I mean, when you just think about people you know who are not Christians, generally apathy is the issue or they're hostile. It's the old question, you know, what's the greatest problem in America? Is it ignorance or apathy? And one student said, I don't know and I don't care.
I don't know and I don't care. All right, though, Frank, appreciate you being on with us this morning. How do I get a copy of your book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist?
Well, we got at our website, if they go to crossexamine.org, they can click on store, and it'll take you to not only the book, but we have DVDs, we have workbooks, we have curriculum, so there's a lot out there. They can also, of course, just get the book on Amazon if they just want the book, but there's a lot more that we have on our website if they want to go further. And we're also teaching online classes now. They can see that on our website. So there's a lot going on the website. There's even an app, Cross-Examined app, two words in the App Store. Cross-Examined has a lot of great stuff on it. And if they sign up for our email once a week, we send them a short video that we tape on a college campus. They're Q&A videos with college students. And so they're always interesting because, look, if I send somebody a four-minute video, they'll watch it. They won't watch it if I send them a 40-minute video. But a four-minute Q&A video, they're going to watch it. And that's a doorway to try and get them to go deeper into the evidence.
Yeah. Thanks, Frank. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Don't
appreciate
tell me what
it.
To do.
Hey, my people will be getting with your people about your contract.
Okay. I'll expect it in, what, 2025 maybe?
Yes, and I'll bring the salad.
Oh, good. I understand. Yeah, you got this spurious text today.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Tim, next time the phone doesn't ring, it's me.
Okay. Thanks, Frank.
See ya.
All right, that's Dr. Frank Turek. What did he say next time the phone
doesn't ring? The phone doesn't ring, it's me.
It's me. Okay, we can all use that.
That's a great title
this
for
is
a country
like a
song, though.
Yeah, right, from country music.
Don't you think so? That's an old school country music title right there.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, next story. Right, we got about a minute, and then we got to take a break.
Yeah, all right, we started off the show talking about the terrorist attack in London. We're familiar with the story that broke last week about authorities raiding this camp in New Mexico, up in the northeast part of New Mexico. Near the Colorado border up there, bunch of kids being held by about five adults. These five adults arrested, the authorities there calling it a terrorist training camp. The allegation is these people were training these little kids to go in and gun down people in schools. Now, that's what the authorities say. So they arrested two men, three women, I think it was, and a judge yesterday let them out on bail, $20,000 bail. This judge, Sarah Backus, I think it is, said prosecutors failed to articulate any specific threats or plan against the community despite providing concerning information. Four of them apparently are going to get out of jail today. Another guy's being held because he's wanted on a warrant in Georgia for abducting his own son, taking away from the mother there and taking him out to this camp in New Mexico. There's a lot more to this story. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about it.
Is this
the
judge's discretion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. $20,000 bail is like nigh unto nothing these days.
This judge is either appointed or elected. Either way, the judge should be accountable.
Yes.
For this. And it's a local judge, right?
Sarah Backus, yes.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
An off-Broadway production titled The Originalist is an engrossing and surprisingly even-handed portrait of the late conservative titan, Justice Antonin Scalia, in his element. This play should be labeled a potential gateway drug to constitutional conservatism for regressives.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
You know, people often ask me, Tim, what's your favorite part of the Holy Land Tour? I've been leading Holy Land Tours for many years now. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, I learned how to lead these Israel tours from my dad, who started doing them in the 60s. And then he taught me in the 80s and 90s. And now my wife, Allison, and I lead these tours annually to Israel. And we love going because we love seeing people's eyes when they see things such as the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River and the Garden Tomb and the Wailing Wall. See all these things for the first time and maybe the last time in many folks' lives, because this is a bucket list trip. We're going to be going in March. If you want a brochure sent to your mailbox, give us a call at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. And we'll send you a brochure. If you want to go to the website, everything's there. TWHolyLand.com. TWHolyLand.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The commander of Edwards Air Force Base is under fire for operating a personal website that encourages Americans to pray at lunchtime. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation filed a scathing complaint against Brigadier General John Tykert, accusing him of violating Pentagon policies regarding religious proselytizing. The general's website is called Pray at Lunchtime for the United States. People are encouraged to intercede on behalf of the president and the military and Congress. But the Military Religious Freedom Foundation accused the general of being a fundamentalist Christian tyrant, a religious extremist predator. Mikey Weinstein is the founder of the organization. He says General Tykert should be thrown in jail for violating the Constitution. Thrown in jail for encouraging people to pray? Sounds to me like the only fundamentalist extremist predator is the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman. Appreciate you listening to AFR. Walker Wildman is with me. We're all related. Walker's my youngest son, for those who are new to the show. That's how you got the job. Right, Walker?
Whatever you say.
See there? That's how you get a job right there. You just say to your old man, whatever
good
you
answer.
Say. Yeah. You're right.
And we're all brothers in the Lord.
You're right, Dad. Whatever you say, Dad.
That's right.
Fred Jackson with me and Ray Pritchard. Dr. Ray Pritchard is co-hosting. Ray, Fred, and I were in studio. I don't know if it's me or I right there. I don't have time to think about it. But Ray is in Kansas City. KS, right? You're on the KS
that's
side,
exactly right?
Right.
On the KS side. That's right. Here in Shawnee, Kansas.
You've been there. How many months now you've been in Kansas City?
It's about 4 months now.
Okay.
Starting to feel like home.
Moved from Dallas to Kansas City.
He hasn't spent the first winter in KS.
He has not.
That's right. We'll see how it goes.
We'll check your attitude in January.
That's
get
right.
Back with you, Ray.
That's right.
No, that's he's got a
look,
conference.
I'll be preaching.
Yeah, he'll
I'll
be preaching in the Florida Keys.
Oh, that's how that works.
That's, right.
Hey,
my
that's smart.
Tour. That's right. That's right.
You
go
plan
north
your,
in the summer, go south in the winter.
That's what I'm talking
Hawaii,
about.
Hawaii, here I come.
Yeah, there. Hey,
that's right.
I could do some beach ministry in January in Hawaii.
That's right. Somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it. I've told y'all before, just real quickly, and I know I'm not prone to rabbit trail. But I think I've told you this before. There was a guy came through town. This is 25 years ago. Came through Tupelo. He worked for a major ministry, and he left that major ministry that we were partners with, that we worked with, and started his own
ministry. Mm-hmm. And so I took him to my church on a Wednesday night. The guy was in town, and I introduced him to the congregation. There were probably about 100 people there, 200 people at a Wednesday night church service. And I said, "This is Brother so-and-so, so-and-so. He's coming through town. He's on his way to so-and-so, so-and-so. And he has a golf ministry." And they just burst. People just burst. It was embarrassing to me because I was introduced. He had a serious, right? He had a serious ministry to PGA players and their family. He had a serious ministry to PGA players and to PGA family and their families. You know, somebody needs to be, you know, FCA.
But
and
it just doesn't sound right.
No.
Right.
No, but it didn't sound right. I didn't introduce it correctly. And I just said he has a golf ministry. And everybody started laughing right there in his face. And I just felt terrible for the guy. I didn't know how to recover, but maybe it wasn't the first time he had got that before. Well, I should have introduced it some other way. But that golf ministry, kind of like a beach ministry. Mm-hmm. People don't take it seriously. All right. We want to welcome to our program Sandy Rios. Sandy's host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here on American Family Radio weekdays. 7:05 to 8:00 Central Time on American Family Radio. Sandy also serves as Director of Governmental Affairs for AFA, so she's our liaison in our nation's capital to Congress and the White House and whoever else we need to be in touch with on behalf of American Family Association members and supporters. Sandy is our voice there. And she joins us most Tuesdays when she can. Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning. Back to you.
Back
can
to
I
me.
Tell you funny, can I tell you a funny story?
Yes.
Your story, your rabbit trail, reminded me I had two friends who were musicians who ended up going to Vienna, Austria as missionaries. And so when they would say that, you know, it's like, well, it was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a hard duty for two musicians. That's,
Oh,
they were there for a long time. Yeah. I'm struggling, you know, to reach the locals.
That's right. That's like saying if you're a golfer and you're going to Hilton Head Island to have a golf ministry. It's Austria.
Yeah, yeah.
For a musician, it's like, you know, Mecca to the Muslim or whatever.
Got to go to the opera every second night.
Exactly. I just had to go because I got to get, you know, into the culture here in order to reach out.
That's right. You got to be there to reach them.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Sandy, one of your favorite people that you talk about often is Peter Strzok.
my good friend Peter Strzok.
Peter's the FBI agent. He's an FBI
Former FBI agent,
but he was really you could fairly call him a top official, right?
That's right.
At the Federal Bureau of Investigation in Washington, D.C. He got fired a few days ago. What did you make of this?
Well, funny you should ask, because I don't even know where to start. I would just say, well, I'm glad. How about that? It needed to happen. I mean, how disgraceful. And I would like to point out that even though the media claims are that Peter Strzok got fired for anti-Trump tweets, really? All right, so not really. The real technical reason why Peter Strzok can no longer be an FBI agent is because he lied to Congress. FBI agents are not allowed to lie. There's a huge issue for them. They call it lack of candor. And there's a disciplinary procedure. There's a whole department that deals in disciplining FBI agents. And they can be removed for misstating the time on their time cards, for misleading on how they're using their bureau car. They have to be honest on everything. And for instance, with Peter Strzok taking those FISA warrants into the FISA court and not telling the judge clearly that tabloid dossier was paid for by the Democratic Party or the Hillary Clinton campaign, that's lack of candor. You could be fired for that. So I'm just saying if you stacked him up against the normal FBI agent, they'd all be gone based on what he's done. So when they tell you that he is has been fired just because he was expressing his First Amendment rights, that he didn't like President Trump, that's just absolutely not regulation standard reasons for letting an FBI agent go. His grievances go much deeper. So that's my initial response. I could say more, but
Sandy, it's Fred here.
Hey, Fred.
What you just outlined, a lot of people were aware of. You know, I mean, we've talked it on this network about what Peter Strzok did with the FISA court, et cetera, et cetera. I guess what a lot of people want, why did it take so long? I mean, most of this stuff has been known about Peter Strzok for months. Is this the norm for the FBI to take this long to fire somebody who's been out of line?
It takes time because of the bureaucracy. It really does take time. But the wrinkle in this is that the people who are in the adjudicating department, OPR they call it, are not inclined to punish people like Peter Strzok. Mm-hmm. They're inclined to punish people like the old-time FBI agents who actually love the country and are faithful to it. They will fire them easily if they give the wrong time on their time cards or lie about how they use their car. Any excuse to punish them harshly is taken because at the top of that department are people who loved Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Sandy, this is Walker. You have the criminal referral regarding Andrew McCabe that's been pending for 6 months now. Do you have any idea if a U.S. attorney or the Department of Justice is going to take up that criminal referral, or is Andrew McCabe going to be another one of the criminals that gets to retire?
Alleged, before we get sued.
Well, you know what, Walker? I don't have an answer for that, but I would say this. I'm inclined to believe that yesterday's firing of Peter Strzok, because what happened was the deputy director of the FBI, whose name escapes me in this moment, he replaced Andrew McCabe, is an agent. In other words, he is an experienced Federal Bureau of Investigation agent. He was the agent that was over San Bernardino terrorist attack. He's been in the news. I mean, he's got a great record. This is a guy whose dad was a police chief for decades, and his grandfather was a chief of police. He is a law enforcement guy. The guys who've been appointed to head the FBI in the last few years, including the current director and James Comey and Bob Mueller, are business people, or they come from the Justice Department, or they are not FBI agents. They are not law and order. They're not cops in their background. I mean, I'm saying FBI agents are not. They've got more in common with the police than they do with probably attorneys at the Justice Department. So my point is that this assistant who took McCabe's place, I believe, is the kind of agent that would restore the reputation of the FBI. He's the real deal. You notice that the chief of who's the head now?
Christopher Wray.
Christopher Wray, you know, demurred. He didn't do anything. He handed it off to his assistant is the one who actually led the charge on this. And so, Walker, the answer to your question is, I think because there's kind of a mood, I see it as an stroke firing as an example of that. I'm hoping that's the beginning of really strong, firm measures to sort this thing out.
Sandy, I'd like to ask about Jeff Sessions. Basically, just a broad question. Where has he been? What's he been doing lately? And specifically to the point you've been talking about, how much influence does the Attorney General have over a well-defined institution with its own traditions like the FBI? How much difference does the AG make?
Well, given the small number of political appointments he can bring into the building, and given the fact that the senator from Colorado, Cory Gardner held up nominations for the top posts in the Justice Department. As far as I know, he's still holding them up over an issue of marijuana because he's upset with Jeff Sessions on his strong position on marijuana. He is operating with a very light crew with his hands tied behind his back. No question about that. But I would say the other side of that is I think he's made a tremendous difference, even though it may not be making headlines every night. He is when it comes to immigration, he has been enforcing immigration law in brand new ways. He's been encouraging Border Patrol. He's been encouraging police. You should have heard what he said yesterday to a group of policemen in the wake of Elizabeth Warren saying that the whole, you know, all of policing is racist. He came to strong defense. He's on the issue of marriage and LGBT issues, transgenderism. He has weighed in places that mm-hmm. you might not see, but he is doing a lot. It's just that he's not doing what our hearts want him to do, which is, for heaven's sake, sort out the FBI, you know, get rid of Rod Rosenstein. You know, this drives all of us crazy. But I think I've said this before, but I'll say again, I think that General Sessions, in the pursuit of exampling his own integrity, of which he does have a lot of integrity, has probably gone over the line here, where he said he was recusing himself, and he's probably the only person in the history of the country who really meant it, and is just not. He is not, because he said he was recusing himself. He's recused. That's what I think's happening. And but he is doing. Listen, and again, the thing that we have to come back to, if President Trump were to nominate another, if General Sessions were to leave, and President Trump were to nominate another Attorney General, there's no way an Attorney General who shares the values of the conservative movement would ever, ever, ever get injected in that position. Now, you might get someone who would be tough on the Russian collusion and the Justice Department scandals, but he probably would not be good on life, on marriage and transgenderism, on the borders and all of that. It'd be very hard to get someone like that through the current Senate mm-hmm. or probably the one that's coming up. So those are the realities.
Yeah. Hey, Sandy, thanks so much. Who are you going to have on your show in the morning?
Well, tomorrow morning, I'm just going to open the phone lines because there are four primaries today. And could I just say Wisconsin, Minnesota, Vermont, and Connecticut, and I'm hoping people will get out and vote. Wisconsin has a big Senate race. Tammy Baldwin is the sitting senator. She's the first lesbian to serve in the Senate. She's got two challengers. And Leah Volkmer is supported by Paul Ryan, and Kevin Nicholson is the conservative favorite, supported by Senate Conservatives Fund. So this primary is very important. Minnesota, Al Franken's seat is up in play, and there are some good candidates in that race. Vermont and Connecticut, and of course, what's at stake in these states are all these congressional seats, which will make a difference in who takes power and who keeps power, loses it in the House in the fall. So.
All right, good. Thank you, Sandy.
Yeah, you're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Sandy Rios. And check out Sandy's Facebook page. And you want to listen to her show, we podcast that, right, Walker?
That's right.
Excellent morning program with news of the day. And Sandy is a veteran radio talk show host. And she is one of our best programs. I'm not going to choose the best one because then I get into trouble with the other ones, so like your children or whatever. Appreciate you listening, folks, to American Family Radio. Fred, next story.
Well, I just wanted to finish off this New Mexico story because there are some important details that really haven't made it into the public yet. The leader of this group in this compound, a guy by the name of Siraj bin Wahaj, we already reported. He has some connection to an imam in New York that has been known to favor terrorists. All right, so he's the guy still being held because of another warrant he's wanted on in Georgia. One of the young kids that was being held at the compound was his son. His son's name, Abdul Ghani. And they've now interviewed a couple of the kids, of the other 11 kids that were being held. Authorities have interviewed them. FBI agents have interviewed them. One of the kids interviewed is a 15-year-old, and this 15-year-old described attempts to cast demonic spirits from Abdul Ghani's body through a ritual that involved reading passages from the Quran while his dad, Siraj ibn Wahaj, held a hand on the boy's forehead, and that Abdul Ghani apparently died after one of those sessions. He said the children were told that Abdul Ghani would be resurrected as Jesus and would, quote, instruct others on the property about what corrupt institutions to get rid of in reference to financial and government institutions that might include schools. Now, that's the testimony of one of the 15-year-old kids that was being held at this compound. This is the kind of stuff that, according to this testimony, was going on at this compound. Authorities described it last week as a terrorist training camp for kids. And this testimony from this young kid, this 15-year-old, would seem to support this. Here's the scary part. When this story broke last week, some authorities were saying there are probably a lot of these camps in this part of the country that's very remote. A lot of people live, according to, quote, off the grid out there. Mm-hmm. And so the authorities many times don't even bother with them. They just allow them to exist. But this is pretty scary stuff. And I hope this story stays in the media. I hope people pay attention to it, because this is the kind of thing that you often think is happening over there in the Middle East, but it's happening right here in this country. And thank God, finally, local authorities got in touch with the FBI. Remember the story last week? They contacted the FBI initially, and the FBI did not respond. But finally, there was a response to this.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I haven't heard is any imams or any Muslim leaders in the U.S. denouncing this.
Nope.
You know, because if this were a Christian or a alleged Christian, then they would be calling all the evangelical leaders going, do you denounce this action? Just like in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
denounce it? Or if it were a Catholic priest caught, molestation. Charges we've seen in the past, they would definitely go to the archdiocese and ask for a comment. You know,
the thing I don't understand is this judge who lets these people out on, what did you say, Fred, $20,000 bail?
$20,000 bond.
Good night.
Mm. I know.
This is a terrorist camp training children. Mm. And that very strange ritual cult-like death experience. What was the judge thinking? I mean, how do you let people like this out on $20,000 bond? Mm-hmm. How is that possible?
Well, yeah, she's an elected judge, we were saying. Yeah. And
she's a Democrat.
And a Democrat.
She's a Democrat elected judge, so she'll have to be responsive to the voters, you would think, out there. Maybe they like these kinds of decisions by the – because you're telling me this is a discretionary – situation.
Yes.
So
up to the judge.
The judge can make a decision on this. And
because the judge could have said, people are a danger. Bail at all.
No
right?
bail at all.
Right.
That's what they should have got. No bail at all, my
Which
word.
That's what happens when we have judges with character and who follow the Constitution. But when you have judges that rule in their feelings, then you have judges like this.
Well, remember what the judge said. Remember what she said. She said, prosecutors failed to articulate any specific threats or plan against the community despite providing. It just makes you throw up your hands.
Yeah.
Is she going to run with Elizabeth Warren? maybe be her running mate?
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray. Next story, Fred.
It was an interesting night in Charleston, West Virginia last night in their legislature. They voted to impeach all four state Supreme Court justices. That doesn't happen very often.
Does that mean, is that the equivalent of kicking them out, or is that just punishing them?
They'll have to, they write articles of impeachment.
All four?
All four.
So they have four Supreme Court justices only? Do you know that? Okay.
Apparently.
Okay,
there's one of those justices has already been suspended. He's facing a 23-count federal indictment.
That's not good.
But the others are getting the boot. One of the big reasons is the mishandling of funds for their offices, because they decided to reward themselves with renovations of their offices totaling over $1 million.
What?
Justice Robin Davis was impeached for $500,000 in office renovations.
No.
It's an office.
What?
It's not a house. What? It's an office. How do you spend that kind of money? And they also approved articles against Justice Lowry, I believe it is, for spending $363,000 in renovations on his office. And those renovations included a $42,000 antique desk. This is West Virginia, coal mining state.
This isn't Manhattan. Manhattan, this would be a sin. But
how do you get to this point where these people believe?
How does that even happen without somebody blowing the whistle?
Well, also, Ray, don't you think this sounds like one of those deals? You ever seen one of those movies where a person has so much money they can't spend it all?
Sure, sure.
This sounds like one of those things. They're like, man, we got $500,000. What are we? How are we going to spend that on decorations for this? For this office.
Is West Virginia rolling in that much cash?
I wouldn't think so.
What happened, if this is true, and it apparently is, these judges got carried away with or their office managers or whoever. That's an understatement.
Didn't somebody have to sign off on this, Tim?
Here's what I suspect happened. I don't think they really cared about getting nice furniture. I think they cared about the money. And so I think it's going to come out after all this is said and done that money was then funneled back into their personal pockets. And so how do you make money off the government without making it too obvious? Well, you pay your buddy contractor over here, Bill, $500,000 for a couch, and then he gives you $400,000 back.
I wouldn't pay $500,000 for a couch under any circumstances. Would you, Ray?
No, I wouldn't.
It's not your money, though.
It would have to be a pullout.
When the guests come,
king size,
and real leather.
That's right, and real leather.
$32,000 suede leather couch for the office.
Yeah, that's just. I'm glad. So these are some public accountability here. They've been impeached.
Yeah.
That's in West Virginia.
Theoretically, it'll go. I mean, it will go to the Senate if the Senate votes to uphold the articles of impeachment, then West Virginia doesn't have a Supreme Court, right?
No. Well, we'll save a lot of money.
I've never heard of anything like that before.
This is
wild.
It
is wild.
Yeah. All right. We got time for one more. You got anything?
Well, we could talk about Omarosa, and the president is still responding. Been reporting that, of course, that she was let go, but now she's got a book out, Unhinged. And
that's
some people,
the title of it.
Yeah, it's the title of it. And some people would say she's become unhinged, made all kinds of accusations against the president. But the headline this morning, Trump lashes out at Omarosa, calls her that dog.
Quote that dog?
That dog. That's quote that dog.
Well, he shouldn't have done that. You know, most times I don't. Most days when President Trump tweets and it's a little bit out there, you go, well, that's just Donald Trump being Donald Trump. But you don't call a woman a dog.
Yeah.
I don't care. It doesn't do you any good to walk.
Yeah. Not only is it wrong to call her a dog, that's what we call terrorists and MS-13 members.
It's an insult to dogs.
But here in this case, President Trump's winning the media war against her credibility.
Yes.
And then he goes out the next day and shoots himself in the foot.
Right.
It defeats his own message.
You know, I'm not against the president having a Twitter account because he needs to get around the mainstream media to get to the people for political reasons. But this is a case where Ivanka or somebody needs to go in there and say, Dad, it's 10 o'clock.
That's right.
Give me the phone. Yeah,
I'll
give
right.
it back to
Put
you in the morning.
Put the phone down and back away.
At breakfast, I'll give it back to you. But, you know, you're not, anyway. But, you know, that's, that he shouldn't have done that. But you know, he's attacked every day, all day. Mm. You get to where you know what I'm saying? And you think you know somebody, and you try to help them out, and they backstab you. To you, they're a dog.
But still.
Yeah, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.